So there are a couple other people I want to thank really quickly. The lovely ladies running around in the purple T-shirts with volunteer on them. And as with any kind of production, whether it's a film, whether it's rock and roll, whether no matter what it is, there's always people behind the scenes, and they're the ones that really make it work. Is Suzanne back there? Suzanne, stand up. Suzanne Burns has worked tirelessly. And Zion, turn around and wave as well. These two ladies are what have really made this affair what it is. And they gave me some introductions for people, and I've been kind of ad-libbing on, but I've got to read this next one verbatim. And I swore, and you'll see why, that Suzanne had to have written this one. She said, no, he wrote it himself. So our next speaker has been the closest thing to a roadie that Joe Vitale and Hypnotic Marketing has ever had. And that's roadies are a good thing. You don't have good roadies, show ain't going on. Bruce Burns got his start at Joe's first Zero Limits seminar in 2006 as the bodyguard, which included setting up tables and chairs and making sure the whiteboard stayed clean between presentations. Okay, I've been a bodyguard, and my gig wasn't that easy. He's been practicing and developing process intervention models based on NLP and other neurosciences for the past 24 years, specializes in negotiations and trauma coaching. Here's the part I love. His most important claim to the Joe Vitale empire, with a capital E, is that he's married to Suzanne Burns, the woman who pulled this seminar together for all of us. So, ladies and gentlemen, may I present Bruce Burns, the negotiator.
Thank you so much. My hands are a little sweaty, and I'm a volunteer. You'll notice my shirt matches the volunteers in the back, and that was not on purpose. One of my concerns today, when I was getting ready for this and last night, was I'm going to talk about a bunch of stuff, and no one's going to understand me. It's like I'm living in my own world, and I'm going to express these ideas, and I promise you, every idea I had was stolen by the speakers that have already stood in front of you today. So I'm going to have to come up with some new material. First, I want to start with secrets. Joe often talks at some of his seminars about the witness, and he's referring to a really complex metaphysical being that I'm not even going to try to describe or define. He's referring to the element that watches the watcher. And so I'm a witness in the hypnotic marketing enterprise, empire, Joe's adventures, his seminars, in that I've been the roadie, I've been in the backstage, I've been doing the support, and I get to see all this stuff you don't. So I'm going to do as many reveals as I can before Joe has that big hook and yanks me off the stage. But before I do that, I'm going to do my talk. My talk is about volunteering for wealth. I've been volunteering with Joe's organization now for 7 years, I believe. And the first opportunity I had to volunteer for, Mike introduced, and this is how it played out. My wife, Suzanne, said, "Would you like to go to the Zero Limit seminar?" And I did. I wanted to go. I was very interested. And I was interested because of two words, zero state. By the way, I'm the CEO and owner of Zero State Technologies here in the state of Texas. And so I said, okay, sure. What's required? How's it work? So she said, well, I'll check with Joe. So she checks with Joe, and Joe says, if he wants to come to my seminar, he's going to have to do something. I said, all right, that's great. Just figure out what he wants me to do, and I'll do it. I'll be there. I'll show up. I'll be on time. So she gets back with me, and all this is happening in emails like in a matter of minutes. Like everything in our organization happens quickly with emails. People try to avoid the phone because phones become emotional. People stay on the line too long. You can't get your work done. So the response was, you figure it out. So I didn't get any help, you know. So I said, all right. I thought, what am I going to do? I thought, well, he's never had a bodyguard. I got to define my role on my own. So I found a T-shirt place in Austin, Texas, that would do anything. And I had to make T-shirts that said, Joe's Bodyguard. I had four or five of them, and I said, well, I'll be the bodyguard then. And so, of course, in the intro, it discusses what the bodyguard actually did. Joe doesn't need a bodyguard at these events. It's a very loving, very peaceful. The closest thing he's ever needed was we did an event at the convention center here in Austin, and there were just so many people. He stood for like 6 hours straight signing autographs, and so I was needed to kind of pull him out of that so he could rest. All right, volunteer for wealth. The first thing I ever officially volunteered for was the U.S. Army when I was 21 years old. And I had the typical 20-year-old excitement about what that was going to be. They paid me $110 extra a month to jump out of airplanes. And you could only get young people to do that for that amount of money. So, and I had no idea how boring the Army could be. So I was experiencing one of the deepest pits of boredom I could imagine, which was where you go and tune up the Jeeps. And man, that is not what I trained for. So we're dusting off tires and re-lubing wheels. And this 3-star general walks up and he says, "Who knows how to drive that deuce and a half?" And this little guy, this little soldier next to me, he may have weighed 80 pounds. He was probably 4'10", something like that. He says, "I do, sir." And I'm watching all this. I'm thinking, he can't even reach the pedals. I wouldn't know how to drive like an 18-wheeler-sized vehicle. And he goes, "All right, you get in there and drive this somewhere else." He says, "Well, I'm going to need him." He pointed at me. And I looked at him, and I was like, "This is a 3-star general." And I'm thinking, maybe I'll just get court-martialed after this. So we get in the truck, and I said, "You know how to drive one of these things?" He said, "Absolutely not." He said, "But do you want to spend the next 4 hours changing oil in Jeeps? Let's figure it out." I thought, wow. So you volunteered out of boredom, and now we're doing something fun, and we're kind of free of that. He goes, "Exactly." And I thought I was really smart, but this guy was really smart. So I started slowly volunteering for things after that. One of my experiences when I was a little bit younger than that was I belonged to a New Age religion. It's an international thing. I won't go into the details about that. And they had a sign-up sheet I was a teenager, still in high school. They had a sign-up sheet, and you could volunteer for poetry. You could volunteer to do a talk. You could volunteer to write for their newsletter and things like that. So I volunteered for everything. I just put my name on every list they had. I said, "I'll try all that." So that night at the main program, this is 4,000 people in the Los Angeles Convention Center in Los Angeles, California. I'm sitting there chatting away with one of my teenage friends, and they make an announcement on stage. And they say, "Will the following people please report to room so-and-so after tonight's proceedings are over?" And they read a list of names, and they listed my name. I'm like, this is the second seminar I've ever been to. I don't even know any of these people. How would they be announcing my name on stage? You know, they were also announcing, "Your car lights are on in the parking lot. You may want to go turn them off." So I show up to this hotel room after the seminar, and there's a bunch of youth people, and there's a couple of adults. And it turns out that because I volunteered, for whatever reason, which I can't explain today, I became one of the first members of the youth council for that organization. I got to travel all over the world as a consequence of volunteering, putting my name in 4 different places for poetry, talks, newsletters, etc. And so the momentum of volunteering got bigger and bigger in me as I got older. I began to appreciate the benefits of it. So now, at the ripe old age of almost 50, I'll volunteer for just about anything just to see what happens. So that "see what happens" I call being open to the mysteries of the universe. And if you want to start taking notes about my talk, now would be the time. This is really a how-to, as entertaining as it may be. How to volunteer for wealth starts the same way Ho'oponopono starts. And I'm a practitioner of Ho'oponopono. And that is with 100% responsibility. Whatever you're experiencing right now, yesterday, and tomorrow, you create it. You are completely responsible. And if you create with errors, the only appropriate response is to correct those errors. So you're responsible for the errors and the solutions and the now, the here and now. It starts with 100% responsibility. I only have about 3 hours of material to give you. I might have to leave some things out. So 100% responsibility is the willingness to focus on what you want and nothing else. All right, so let's get a little bit of audience participation here. How many of you have a dream and you focus on it sometimes? Raise your hands, please. If you don't raise your hands, I'm going to come down and read your name tag. All righty. There we go. That's good. Very honest. Most of you raise your hands. What do you focus on when you're not focusing on your dream? How many of you? Yes, ma'am.
Worry.
Okay. What's another word for worry? Fantastic. I like this participation. The word I use for all of those words is drama. You focus on the drama, not the goal, not the dream, not the inspiration, but the thing that counters it. When you're afraid, how many of you, raise your hands, how many of you get ready for the fight? You mentally prepare yourself, that's great. Like at work, the boss that you don't get along with, maybe you're fighting with your spouse, maybe you're having a hard time connecting with your kids or getting your kids to work in a family unit. So you get ready for the fight. What are you doing when you do that? You're creating it, you're expecting it, and you're wasting the next thing. Take the notes. The next thing is your opportunity. Volunteering for wealth is always about being open to the mysteries of the universe, which is being open to the opportunity. So if you have a loved one, if they're your significant other, if they're your child, if they're your parent, if they're a friend, if they're a coworker, and you're fighting or you're focused on the drama, you're wasting your time because you're missing the opportunity to connect. You're missing your opportunity to clean. You're missing your opportunity to transform. All right, so what do we have? We have 100% responsibility. We have being open to the mysteries of the universe and 2.5 more hours of stuff. Oh, man, I should have wrote this down. I can't do it. Thank you. Okay, so one of the things that I need to get up every day to come do this, to be in a marriage, to be in business, is congruence. Congruence is a big part of volunteering for wealth. So sometimes people volunteer for, oh, it's all coming back now. Sometimes people volunteer for things or put themselves in a position to volunteer because they feel like they have to. Guilt trip, you know, okay, here's 2 million Girl Scout cookies. Go sell that if you love your child. You know, there's various things we obligate ourselves to, and we're not really volunteering. We're just participating because we think that that's what's expected of us. That's not what a volunteer is. A volunteer is someone who shows up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and ready to go and is really open to anything. So at that first zero limits, what I didn't know is that Joe had offered the same deal to me that he did to like 4 or 5 other people, couples, in fact. And so my worry was, since my wife works for Joe and runs his companies and it is connected to Joe every day, pretty much, that if I mess up, I'm going to make her look bad. This is a two-edged sword. This could be a really great thing, and I could get to know Joe better and become more part of the organization, or I could ruin my wife's chances to work for him for the, you know, for the duration kind of thing. So, whew, I got to try real hard. So I got congruent about doing my very best, and I figured out what would help, and I, okay, so I did the next thing that you want to take notes about. One of the things that we fail to do as human beings in almost every context, which would really add to attracting anything you want now, not just money, but anything, is calibration. And so I made a song once, and I used the word calibration 3 times, but the heartbeat of this idea of calibration is to ask resourceful questions. Calibrate yourself. Like, if I want a dream car, whatever my efforts are, what are the results? How's that working for me? Instead of the fairy tale, calibration is the opposite of a fairy tale. So if you find yourself fairy-telling your way through an experience, remember these notes and say, what if I calibrate instead? I'm going to try to calibrate. I'm going to ask myself questions, ask the universe questions, and ask the people that I'm dealing with questions. Calibrate, calibrate, calibrate. All right. So I'm doing the erasing the whiteboards and passing out the erasers. We all got a gift whiteboard eraser as part of the freebies that we got for that seminar. So I get to pass those out. And I worked my butt off, and I had no idea if I was doing a good job or not because I couldn't calibrate myself in the eyes of Joe. I didn't really know Joe that well business-wise. I showed up for my first seminar and did my best. Well, what I didn't know is that a bunch of other couples and other people had been offered the same thing, and nobody did anything. It was just me, and I was working really hard. And so the irony of that is that I got a chance to go to the next seminar, and instead of passing out erasers, I walked around with a microphone, did the mics. I did the mics for like 5 years. This is the first seminar I've not done the mics, actually. So it looks like I retired the mics, and I upgraded to the stage. Thank you, Joe. And so I don't just volunteer for Joe, though. I volunteer in my real business life as well. This is not real, but in my other business lives as well. For example, I'm a tech guy. I do neurotech and computer tech, and I'm into Linux. And so this has been a hobby. It's not a career. I didn't go to school for it, self-taught. And it just so happens I developed a friendship with one of the men that owns one of my ISPs. We have two ISPs where we work, mine and my wife's offices. And he said, well, I need this thing. I said, all right, I'll research it. So this thing he needed was a way to make the internal aspect of his network faster. So I said, well, this is what I needed to do that. He gave me some parts. I built a box. And now I get free internet from his company, and I troubleshoot it on a regular basis, and we develop business plans together as a result of me volunteering my time and my services. So here is the trick, the secret to that. And in any relationship where you want to win, the place you want to be is out front. If you're anywhere in a relationship with someone else or some other thing, a business, a situation, your animals, it doesn't matter. If you're anywhere but out front, they can't see you. And so one of the benefits of me volunteering with Joe's organization through the years was every time there was a seminar, he saw me. And I'm pretty hard to miss. So the result of that was I kept getting a chance to get in front of Joe and present ideas. And the idea for this talk, Volunteer for Wealth, happened at Easter. Joe had wanted to try Russian food after one of the events we did. And so so we went for Russian food the night after the event, and then the next Sunday was Easter, and he invited us all back. So somewhere between that first dinner and the second dinner, I got to talk about volunteering wealth, and he was like, I love it. I said, who wants to volunteer for wealth? He raised his hand. Matt Dixon raised his hand. They were fired up. They said, we're going to make this a talk, and now I'm sweating on stage in front of a live stream, and I've got all these questions you probably have. So all right, so let me find my place here. All right, so one of the things that happens when you get information is you experience resistance. Show me your hands, please, if in the time I've been sweating and talking to you up here, you've experienced some resistance from my information. Fantastic. Would you tell me what your resistance is, please? Okay, the answer to the question was the sense of actually being able to put it into motion. What is your challenge? Show me a little bit more about your resistance. So you want the how-to touch reality instead of it just being a theory. In my fantasy, when I was giving this talk in practice in my mind, that's actually where I started at. The first thing I did with this group in my prepared, my mental exercise was to ask all of you to think of something that you really want, the thing you want the most. So we'll do that now. Would you please think of the thing that you want the most? Take a few minutes. 20 seconds. Take 20 seconds and get clear on that, and then start raising your hand when you are clear. Fantastic. So this thing you're clear about is the reason you got out of bed. It's the reason that you did a lot of uncomfortable things today and yesterday and the day before yesterday, because you care more about it, and that's the congruence we were talking about earlier, than you do about the things that you would complain about. Like my wife has had 2 hours sleep for the last 3 days in a row. And if you focus only on what you want, you don't waste your energy or your time or your sleep or your indigestion on your fears. When Joe was talking, I thought, oh, man, that's how I'm going to connect this to the talk. When Connie was talking, oh, by the way, Suzanne, Connie said thank you for changing her spot. I didn't get a chance to text that earlier. It's the passion, it's the thing you want most that keeps you moving through all of the jungle, the marsh, the difficult choices, like the hard moments, the unpleasant moments. And what that really represents is what you want behind it. So what I want behind all the things that I want is peace. And so when I set about to create this talk or work the mics for Joe or run my businesses or help my wife, I do it with the intention that the result of that will be that it creates peace. And so I think that you have to have that ultimate purpose of why you do anything included in whatever you're working towards, even if you're feeding your dogs or just doing the most simplest things. I'm going to have some business cards in the back. My email address for this seminar only is volunteer@zerostatetechnologies.com. My name is Bruce Burns. And I want to say one other thing before I close. Because I'm the witness and I get to watch, I get to see things that even Joe doesn't know about. 2 days ago when we were getting ready for this seminar, we had to go get one of the trucks inspected. And Suzanne never stopped. She took her office with me to this place where we got the truck inspected, and she took call after call after call to get you here. And I was hearing the other side of the stories, and I just want to say thank you for stretching as hard as some of you have done to get here. I know it wasn't easy for some of you. I'm very grateful and honored, and I also love you. Thank you.